Okay. Parshas Kisisa, Tafshin, Samach Tes. And our subject today is all about the special Dveikus, closeness, or emuna, or connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that women have. Now, we've heard about this idea, I'm sure, through the years. Let's say regarding the bracha, there's a classic place where you would hear this idea, the bracha of Shelo Asani Isha versus Shasani Kirtsono. Everybody speaks about the idea that men have more mitzvos, that's true, but that is because they need more practical, technical reminders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence around them. They could get distracted more easily, whereas women are by nature closer, you might say, to the Ruchnius. They're more, anecdotally, they're always more balas tshuva women than men. Maybe that's because when a man decides to become frum or to become Jewish, as an adult, they have to go through the bris milah, and that kind of nixes it. But that's certainly what happened in Rome, by the way, after the second bias. That Josephus writes that after the second Corban, when so many Jews came to Rome and to Italy, their influence spread so rapidly, and the pagans there were so impressed, and there were a tremendous amount of converts, but mostly women because of that. For the men, that was very daunting. So, but we know anecdotally that women have a connection, and here really is a source for it. Okay, it's not just a nice idea. There's actually a source in the Chumash drawn from Gemaras and explanations of the Psukim that teach us that this is the case. At the same time, women, though women have displayed a greater, in certain instances, Yerushalayim than men, society has evolved in a way that for so many years, hundreds of years, thousands of years, except for in isolated little spots, women really weren't given the opportunity to learn that much. They really didn't become educated in the depths of our Torah and our ideas. And so on the one hand, they had a natural connection. On the other hand, they were kind of, you know, they never had the time or the opportunity and kind of therefore were not fully engaged in many times in the depths of Torah learning and the depths of the ideas and expression of those ideas. And in fact, for example, when you see Rambam writes about serving Hashem, for example, out of fear versus out of love, and he talks about, well, makes reference to three stages, the fear of sin, which really isn't a stage for the Rambam, and then the love of HaKadosh Baruch, I'm sorry, the fear of punishment, which really isn't much of a stage, and then the love of Hashem, and then the fear of sinning, which comes from a great closeness and awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not sinning for punishment, sinning because the fear of being distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the sin. So when he speaks about the first level, makes reference to the first level, fear of punishment in general, he says this is really for the uneducated, for the children, and for the women. And that's not really a put down on women in general, that's just a statement of what the women, what was going on with women in his days. They really didn't learn, not only by the Jews, but also in the non-Jews. They had no opportunities. And we are very, very privileged that we live in a time in history where we have so many technological aids to free us up and give us just, you know, leisure time to spend learning, and we're not spending the entire day making dinner or washing the clothes or just basically surviving. And so we have the opportunity to really learn and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on higher levels, not just a simple level, which is, you know, God is bigger than me and I'm smaller and so I better not sin. I don't know why I'm doing anything, but I just don't want to, you know, get punished. So that's the kind of dichotomy that existed for women, a natural closeness to Hashem, but a technical inability to really often express that in knowledge and learning. So we're going to look at the source of that. We're going to start with a pasuk in Kisisa, which is Perek Lamed Beis 32, Pesukim Beis and Gimel on page 494. And here's where Aaron tells the men who were in a frenzy, and not all the men, of course. We're talking about the Erev Rav, the weakest link among us, obviously. And they're in a frenzy, and eventually this ends up in the Egel, as we know. And he knows that he's got to kind of slow it down So he tells them to go ahead and get their women's jewelry, right? So he says, "Vayomer lehem Aaron, pirku nizmei hazav asher ba'aznei nesheichem. Go get the earrings, the golden earrings that are in your wives' ears." But then the pasuk tells us, if you look carefully, that they took their earrings, nizmei hazav asher ba'azneihem, that were in their own ears. Obviously, the men wore earrings in those days, and so they went and they took their own earrings. Now, here is the is from the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, and he says that Aaron told them to go get the earrings in their wives' ears because he knew that as soon as they would ask the women for the earrings, umiyad hadavar batel, the whole thing would fall apart. It would become batel, because he continues. But it says, "Shenemar vayomer lehem Aaron pirku, go get you." Aaron said to them, "Go get your wives' earrings." Shamu hanashim, the women heard this. Velo ratsu, and they were not interested. They didn't want to. They resisted. They said no. They refused. Velo kiblu alehen, and they did not accept this command, so to speak, to liten izmehem lebalehem. They told their husbands, "Eno, we're not doing this." Ella. Amrulem. Furthermore, they said to their husbands, "Lasot shikutu to Eva, she'ein bo koach lahatzil, lo nishma lachem." To make a shikut, a disgraceful thing, a to Eva, an abomination. We're not listening. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them their reward in this world and in the next world. In this world, she'ein mishamros roshei chadashim, yoser meha nashim, that they are more makbit on Rosh Chodesh, to take it like a holiday. When they were sewing, we didn't sew. So eat proper food, dress properly. Women are more makbit to conduct themselves as if it's more of a holy day where you don't do real malacha. Now, we do malacha, but certain things that aren't necessary, and specific women's, so-called women's work. V'nasan lehem schar le'olam haba. And he also gave them schar in the future world. And this doesn't mean, this olam haba doesn't mean when they die, but achor sayam, in time of Mashiach, in the future, when the world will be restored to its proper functioning. So he gave them a reward, schar olam haba, shehein asidos leschadesh kmo roshei chadashim. They are going to be renewed and restored like the beginning of the month. And he quotes a pasuk there. Now, what we're saying here is that, number one, the women flatly refused to participate in Chedei Gol, as you know, because they understood that it was wrong. They were just intuitively, it was self-evident to them. They were intuitively aware that this was not the right way to go. They had more basic, innate connections to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was also on display in the Yam, as we spoke about. It was in display in Mitzrayim. These were the Nashim Tzidkaniyos that brought the Geula to begin with. In addition, their reward is Rosh Chodesh. Now our question is, what's the connection between Rosh Chodesh and women, and Rosh Chodesh now that we don't do malacha, we're more careful with it, to show we have a connection to Rosh Chodesh, and La'asid Lavo, when in the future world they will be renewed and restored. So what does that mean? So in order to understand what this means, we are going to flip to a pasuk in Pinchas. On page 800... What page are we on?
892.
And that is Perek Chav Ches, 28 Pesukim. Let's see, it's Pesukim 11 to 15, but the Pesuk that we're actually focusing on is Pesuk 15. It's talking about the Karbanos of Rosh Chodesh. And Pasuk 15 says, Usi'ir izim echod lachatas. Pasuk 15 says that one male goat for a chatas, a carbon chatas, in addition to the regular the Rosh Chodesh offerings, a sin offering, la Hashem, al olas hatamid yase v'nischo, they should do it in addition to the regular offering, and of course, it's libation. So how do you read that? Si'ir izim echod lachatas la Hashem. Seir izim echad, lachatas lahashem. Does it just mean that they're offering it to Hashem? Well, that's the case in every carbon. So that's not the way it's read. The way it's read, the Gemara explains to us, is that it's a seir izim, it's a male offering, a chatas, LaHashem. It's a chatas on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, offer a carbon chatas on my behalf. I need to bring a carbon chatas, a sin offering. I've done something associated with Rosh Chodesh, and it's there's obviously a negative connotation to what I've done. So I need you to bring a carbon for me, a sin offering for me. So the Gemara says the following. And Reish Lakish says, Reish Lakish says, Ma nishtana se'ir shel Rosh Chodesh, shenemar bo LaHashem. Why is the Higot of Rosh Chodesh different from the other Musaf Higots that it specifically says regarding it that it is for Hashem? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Se'ir zeh yehei kapara. This se'ir should be an atonement for me. Al shemiyatati es hayareach. That I diminish the size of the moon. Okay. So, we have a few things so far. Women, extra emuna, Rosh Chodesh. Now and in the future. To be restored, like the moon will be restored in the future. A special chatas on Rosh Chodesh for Hashem, that he made the moon small, which is why it needs to be restored. Restored to what? We're going to see. Restored to its original size. Now, do you remember the famous pasuk in Bereishis, and the famous discussion about the events of how the moon, which originally was the same as the sun, became smaller, diminished, etc. Let's look into that. There was an argument, right, between the sun and the moon. And the moon said, we're not going to go into the Hebrew, but the Psukim in Bereishis, right, say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, let me keep this. If you run, flip back to Bereishis for a second, we're all very familiar with this, the fourth day, on page 6, right? So here it says the following. Pasuk Tezayin 16. Vayasel Kim, and God made Shnei Hama'oras Hagadolim, the two great lights. Es Hama'or Hagadol, the great one to rule in the day. Ves Hama'or Hakatan, the small one to rule at night. You know this, right? So Hashem made the great ones, and then all of a sudden there's reference to a large and a small. What happened in the middle? So you know, the moon comes over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now this is all imagery. This is all painting a story, painting a picture for us. The moon comes over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, we're both so big, right, in the beginning. We're two great lights. Why should two kings share one crown? Now, what does that mean? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're right. You're diminished. Go diminish yourself. I'm making you smaller. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to kind of appease the moon, so he gave the moon a lot of stars. That's the whole Chazal in a nutshell. He gave the moon a lot of stars to kind of make it feel better. So what is that all about? What does it mean when the moon says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do you have two kings, it's not right, both sharing one crown? What's the crown and who are the kings? Obviously the sun and the moon are the kings. And what's the crown and why is he upset and why does he get or she get diminished? And why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring a chatas for that diminution? That's really our question. So, these ideas that you're going to hear are from both the Cheder Egel ideas and the Pinchas ideas are from my grandfather, from the Mayan Beis HaShoeva. His yahrzeit was Purim. His neshama should have an aliyah. And he says like this, and this comes from himself. He says, Libi Omerli. That means, I haven't seen it anywhere. This is what I think is going on. Okay, from his insight. He says that we know that the sun has the capacity to light up the physical world, right? And we know what it feels like when it's a sparkling clear day. And if you've ever been at the top of the Empire State Building or somewhere where there's a huge vista on a sparkling day, you could see for miles, miles. You could sometimes see from Yerushalayim to the Yam HaMelech on a perfect day. Right, you can see a lot, you can't see the whole world, but you know what it feels like to see everything and get a sense of it in an instant, clarity. And in the physical material world, clarity gives us instant understanding. It's an immediate thing, as if somebody would have to spend 1,000 words describing what the view looks like from Yerushalayim to Yam HaMelech, from all the sides, you know, or as you, you know, the whole. So, but in with vision, you see it instantly. The concept of instant understanding, okay? And that's what was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the sun and moon on the fourth day. But there was Or that was created that had nothing to do with the sun and the moon, as you well know, and that's the Or of the first day. That's the Or that we associate with the Shechina, that's the Or we associate with the Oraisa, that's the Or shining off Moshe's face, and that's the Or in the house when he was born, and that's the Or of Asimcha of the Jews on Purim, and that's the Or of Artzion, Or Chadash B'tzion Ta'ir. When we talk about that Or, we're talking about spiritual light. It's also called a light, but it's of a very different nature. And obviously somebody that is that light is bestowed upon, obviously that person can also see, but not the physical world. That's because of the sun. They can see that too. But if that light is bestowed upon someone, the Or of the Giloy Shechina, they can see what makes the world tick, what makes the world run. They can see that every blade of grass has a malach or a force telling it grow, 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 that everything is the will of Hashem. They can see the truth of the Torah and the mitzvahs without someone explaining it to them. They can see that there's nothing but a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Hashem's will in this world, and they don't want to sin. They don't want to go against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. They can see everything that a Navi can see. They can see like Moshe Rabbeinu. And when you see like that, that's called Aspaklaria Meira, clear vision, absolutely clear vision. You're very close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and all the Mishigasim fall away, and there's no temptation anymore. That's the truth. And there's no confusion anymore. So my grandfather says that Libi Omerli, he believes that we know that in the Sheishis Mebrashis that Or was shining. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, there were two types of Or eventually. There was a total clarity of Ruchnias. In other words, everybody or the people that would come into that world would have the clarity of vision of Moshe Rabbeinu when he was on the mountain. And there was also total clarity in Gashmias. And it was crystal clear that the Gashmias was just an expression of the Ruchnias in a material form. So the problem is, and this is how Chazal are describing an age-old philosophical problem by putting words into the mouth of the moon. So the moon is saying, right, the problem we're struggling with is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if the Giloy Shechina is so, you know, is so enormous here, so then the recognition of you is automatic. Of course everybody will recognize you. In other words, there won't be Bechira. In other words, what's the point of humanity? How do you want people to recognize you? Do you want them to recognize you through nature and the physical world, through their own understanding, das, like Avraham, looking around and figuring out that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then they do that work on their own, right? That's looking at nature. Or do you want people to recognize you because you have imposed into this world your revelation, and therefore anybody that you're going to create is going to be also, you know, overwhelmed by the clarity of your presence here. And that's how they'll recognize you, in which case, what's the point, as we said, of humanity? That's really the question. Should two kings share a crown? Which one should wear the crown? Which one should be the way that people come to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's the question. Which is the glorified way? Which is your way of choice to bring kavod to people? By giving them Bechira? Or by overwhelming them, like by Har Sinai, with your revelation, with your Shechina? So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, this is true. And obviously this is not a conversation and a trial and error. It's just describing this question we all live with. Why isn't there more Giloy Shechina in the world? So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, this is true. And he says, the moon, my grandfather says, you represent the Or HaShechina. Somehow in the Sheishis Yimei Bereishis, the Or HaShechina was associated with the moon. And the physical light was associated with the sun. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, the Or HaShechina, which is associated with the moon, will be diminished. That's how it's going to be. Diminished. And the way people will come to recognize Hashem is through nature, through Teva, through the world that I've created. That's how Avram started. That will be that we look around and figure it out. That's what Rambam says. That's how a person comes to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu by watching, by looking, by thinking. And that's what it's going to be. By diminishing the moon, so to speak, what that means is HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away this Or HaShechina, and he did not let it anymore be so revealed in the world. And that's the famous Rashi in Bereishis. It says, Vayavdel Elokim es ha'or. Remember that? So Rashi tells us he saw that that or brings a divrei agada. Ra'ahu she'eino kedai l'shtamish bo rishayim. It wasn't ra'oi that the wicked people of the world should benefit from this. So hivdilo letzadikim. He set it aside for the righteous, for the future. And that's what it means, Vayavdel. He separated between the light and the darkness. He took the Or HaShechina and he put it for the future, for the people that earn it. Now, to get that Or HaShechina, a person has to build themselves up to be ra'oi for that. But it's not automatic for everybody. So that's the Shechina in the end of days, in every person's individual end of days, and eventually the end of days. So at the same time that this is how the world has to be, obviously because HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world this way, people are going to make a lot of mistakes and walk around in physical light and spiritual darkness. That's inevitable. Things are stacked against us. The Shechina is not obvious to everybody. It leads to Bechira, free choice, but it also leads to a lot of confusion and a lot of mistakes. So Hashem makes the moon smaller. But then the Medrash continues and says, Hashem gave the moon a lot of stars. And you know what it says about the stars. Su'u maro meinechem, lift your eyes up high and see mi bara ela, who created all of this? In other words, it is still the heavens that can teach a person about that there must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu here, but it's not in such a direct way. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu then, in a sense, acknowledging that the limitation, the diminution of the moon caused people, therefore, to be in a state of confusion and darkness, asks that we bring a Korban Chatas on his behalf on Rosh Chodesh. When the moon is small on Rosh Chodesh, that's when we have to bring, on behalf of God, a sin offering. Because look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. The smallness of the moon reminds us of the predicament that we're in. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that to us. That's how Hashem set the world up. Which in a way is very comforting because Hashem himself knows, so to speak, that he's made it difficult for us and it's a little bit of a problem and that he has to get an atonement for it. So if Hashem is already taking responsibility, and we spoke about this with the fire, right? Who started the fire? Yeah. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already taking responsibility, it gives us a little comfort. So we bring a Korban Chatas on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what do women have to do with this? So interestingly enough, in Bereishis, right, it calls the moon a Moshel, and it calls the sun a Moshel, the big one, Amar HaGadol Limshelet Hayom, the big sun, to the big light to rule at day, Mar HaKatan, and the small one, Limshelet Halayla, to rule at night. And by the way, in the darkness, which is always the confusion and the gullus and the Hester Panim and all of that, that's when the moon is still there, but diminished. So, in other words, we haven't been completely, you know, taken away from this Or HaShechina, but it's hard to find, but it's there if we search for it. So they're also called, there's a word here, we're using the word Moshel. Now, let's talk about women. Okay? Women, man and woman, as you know, the psukim, created equal, created of equal status. In fact, there was one bria with both male and female attributes. Correct? You all know that, of course. And the pasuk in Perek Hay in Bereishis, pasuk Beis, Zachar unekeva baram. He created them, male and female. Ve'avarech osam. He blessed them. Vayikra eshemam Adam, and their name was Adam. There's a single entity called Adam that was male and female. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu divides this, we've spoken about this, into the male, which is the giver, the female, which is the receiver, that's how the physical apparatus is set up. And there's no, there's not a word of inequality or dependence at all at this stage. Zero. In fact, Adam says, Basar Mibsari, this is my flesh, this is me, I'll call her Isha because she's Isha, it's all the same thing. We're two halves of one whole, there's not a single you know, whisper of any type of dependence or, you know, or higher status or lower status, but that comes after the chait. And the curse, of course, is, and these words remind us of the moon, El Ishech Tshukasech, among the curses of her difficulty in child birth and child rearing and pregnancy and all that. And Pasuk Tezayin in Perek Gimel tells us, El Ishech Tshukasech, so your husband will be your need. And Hu Yimshol Bach, he will be a Moshel, he could dominate you. Now, just to point out, and we've spoken about this, and there's a whole class online on the OU website called Shelo Asani Isha, we talk about all of this. Hu Yimshol Bach, just to point out, he shall dominate you. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a privilege. It's a curse for both of them. It's nothing to be taken advantage, you know, nothing to take advantage of. Any person who thinks it's an opportunity is on the speeding train to doom, because nobody wants to be dominated, and he can be ensured that he'll have a horrible home life if he tries to take this seriously. And we have no role models in all of Tanakh who took this seriously, who took it as a mitzvah, who took it as an obligation. There is no role models. In fact, it's dafka, the opposite. All the women were constantly telling the men what to do, such as Esther, such as Sarah told Avraham, he said, do whatever you want, such as Rachel playing around with Yaakov's future, such as Leah saying, you come to me tonight, such as Rivka telling Yitzchak, you know, who's getting the bracha, basically deciding. That's how it goes, okay? It's exactly the opposite. So that's number one. But nevertheless, when it says he will dominate you, that's really important, because what that means is the woman being the makabel, the receiver, like the moon, is now makabel, the light of the sun. So the woman now is in a position physically, she's the female, she's been separated from the male, she is the receiver, the male is the giver, and the female is the receiver, and that puts her in a more vulnerable position. And for most of history, she was not just physically, biologically a receiver in terms of children, but in terms of support and protection and she's weaker and always, you know, weakened further by menstruation, pregnancy, childbirth, rearing the young, always in a vulnerable position. And therefore she became a receiver and dependent. And so Hu Yimshol Bach means he will be in a natural situation of being able to dominate you. And many men have taken advantage of this, obviously in different cultures and different societies, and women have suffered greatly because of that reality, because men are physically stronger, unencumbered by children, etc. And therefore, so in the survival of the fittest world, you know, women didn't always have a very good chance here at getting equal rights, getting treated well. But in the Jewish society, this was there was an alternate, totally different approach to this. But that's we're not going to go all the way down that road. However, built into this is the previous statement, El Ishech Tshukasech, and this gives us, to your husband shall be your need or your yearning, and this gives us, takes us down a whole nother road of the complicated relationship between the receiver and the giver, and will bring us back to the concept of the women and their Yerushalayim and their association with Rosh Chodesh. So, El Ishech Tshukasech, here is a very interesting piece. I have to thank David Foreman for pointing this out to me many years ago. Medrash Rabbah, El Ishech Tshukasech. Arba Tshukos Hein. There are four Tshukas. Tshuka is a yearning. Four things are described as a yearning. Ein Tshukasa Shel Isha Ela Leisha. There is no Tshuka besides these four, but one is the woman for her husband, and it quotes this Pasuk. Second, Ein Tshukaso Shel Yetzahara Ela Al Kayin V'Chaverav. The Yetzahara has a Tshuka for Kayin and his comrades, which means sinners. Third, Ein Tshuka Shel Geshamim Ela Al Ha'aretz. The Geshamim, the rains, have a Tshuka for the earth. Brings a Pasuk from Tehillim. And Kadosh Baruch Hu has a Tshuka for Yisrael. And he brings a Pasuk from Shir HaShirim. V'Alai Tshukaso, my Tshuka is, and upon me is his Tshuka. So these are the four tshukas that are pointed out. A woman for her husband, Yetzahara for a sinner, rain for the land, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu Kol Yisrael. So let's try to understand what a tshuka is. So let's use rain for the land. What does that mean, that the rain has a tshuka for the land? What does that mean? What does it mean that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has a tshuka for Kol Yisrael? So now, Who needs who? Does the land need the rain, or does the rain need the land? Normally we say the land needs the rain, but that's not what the Medrash Rabbah says. It says that rain in Shukasan shall geshamin ella al ha'aretz. The geshamim have a chuka for the land. So here's the dry land, and the rain wants to fall. And what happens when the rain falls on the dry land? It nourishes it, it makes it fertile, and things can begin to grow. So that is exactly the opposite of how we would normally understand a chukka. Exactly the opposite. So how? What about a Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael? Here's Klal Yisrael, who breathed into us a neshama and gives us a Torah and wants to see us succeed. A Kodesh Baruch Hu. And what about the Yetzirah and Kayin? The Yetzirah has a chukka for sinners. They've opened the door for the Yetzirah, and the Yetzirah wants to prod them further. And so too the woman for the man. Now what this means to say is, it doesn't mean that she needs him, otherwise she's nothing, and has nothing to achieve and nothing to offer. It's exactly the reverse. When the rain gives life to the land sprouts into, begins to blossom. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives his force, his power to Klal Yisrael begin to live. When the Yetzirah fills up the heart of a sinner, the sinner starts acting. And when the woman gives her life force to a man, so then the man reaches also his fulfillment, or his can begin to achieve. In other words, the complicated relationship is, although technically a man can dominate a woman because we're physically more vulnerable and weaker, and we are the makabel, at the same time, the relationship really is that it's the woman that brings the man alive. Now, in what way? In what way? Now, the moon is a makabel from the light of the sun, as we know. The moon is also a makabel of the Ar HaShechina. That's really the original, my grandfather says, association of the moon. It's the kli kibul of the Shechina for this world. It's the vessel that kind of receives the Shechina and passes on the Shechina for this world. It's kind of associated or shines through the moon. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu had to limit the moon. Hashem also limited the women, also made the woman dependent, receiving, just like the moon. However, the real essence of the woman, before she was diminished, the real essence of the moon, before the moon was diminished, was that it was a source of the Shechina, a source of the Yira Shamayim. Now that was diminished, but it didn't go away entirely. When it says the woman's chukka is for the man, she is a source of Yirah Shamayim for the man. Because that was her original position, was that she, the woman, had, as we still see glimpses of it, a greater reservoir of Yirah Shamayim and Emunah Kadosh Baruch Hu than the man. You see it still in bits and pieces in the Chumash. And yet she was diminished, became dependent. And yet her tshuka is still to bring out this energy of Yirah Shamayim that she has. And where was it expressed? By their refusal to participate in the Chet HaEgel. Now, here my grandfather brings down a pasuk in... where is it? A pasuk in... here it is. Yirmiyahu, to prove this point. In Yirmiyahu... not only do we see that there is a prayer, really, a portent for the future, that women will be restored to their original position, as we will see in Kiddush Levana, we daven that the moon should be restored to its original position. Both times what we're asking for is that this diminution that keeps the Yirah Shamayim of the moon, so to speak, and of the women too much, controlled and not expressed in the future when the moon is restored and women will be restored, like the Rosh Chodeshim, then their source of Yirah Shamayim, their reservoir, their aura, will be what brings the men to life and establishes the men and allows the rest of the world to really begin to really thrive. So the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Aleph, is Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. The end of the pasuk says, "Ki bara Hashem chadasha ba'aretz." Hashem is going to create something brand new in the world. Nekeva tesovev gaver. A female will surround a man. Now, what does that mean? So here the Gemara in Yavama says the following. Okay, and I'll read you the whole thing. Rabbi Tanchum said in the name of Rabbi Chanilai, Kol Adam She'ein Lo Isha, any man who does not have a wife, Sharoi below Simcha, he lives without happiness, below Bracha, without blessing, below Tova, without goodness, below Simcha, he goes back now. What is it? How do you know that a man lives without, a wife lives without Simcha? Because it says, Usamachta Ata Ubesecha, you shall rejoice, you and your house, and the household means your wife. How do we know a man without a wife has no bracha, below bracha? Because it says, lahaniach bracha al beisecha, to bring a blessing to rest on your home is your wife. And how do we know a man without a wife has no tova? Because it says, lo tov heyos ha'adam levado. It's no good for a man to be alone. And then, in the West, which means in Eretz Yisrael, they added to this. This was in Bavel. They said, a man who doesn't have a wife is left below Torah, with no Torah, below Choma, and without a protective wall. Below Torah, how do you know a man without a wife has no Torah? Because it brings a pasuk, Ha'im ein ezrasi bi, usoshia nidcha mimeni, is my own helpmate not with me? Is wisdom thrust aside from me? So without a woman, a wife, he has no Torah and he has no wisdom. Below Choma, how do you know a man without a wife has no wall? Because it says here in Yirmiyahu, Nekeva to Sovev Gever, she will surround him like a wall. A woman will surround a man. And Rava Barola says, a man lives without Shalom. He brings a quote for that too. So, based on this pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Nekeva to Sovev Gever, which is a condition of the future world, will be when the woman will take her rightful place once again as the protective wall around the man, in other words, protecting him from sinning, like they did, they tried to do, at the Chet HaEgel. Okay? Like they tried to do. That's the rightful place of woman. They are the source of Torah and a source of a choma, a wall. By the way, the minhag, which I didn't do this, it's not our minhag, but it is a very popular minhag Yisrael. This is where the women walk around seven times. Comes from this.
Say it again.
This is where the source of the minhag for women to walk around the chasen, a kala to walk around the chasen at the wedding. Okay?
Why seven?
It's a holy number, I don't think. In any case, you can figure it out 7 days of the week, seven, there's a lot of stuff. Shabbat.
I just have to
seven. They walked around Yericho seven times.
That's right, they walked around Yericho and the walls fell down. Very good. Very good. In any case, the point here is that my grandfather is creating an entire, really, construction here, linking all of these ideas together. Everything you're hearing is his. That what happens here is that the moon was associated with the Ar HaShechina, which first was totally visible and present in the world, which didn't allow for Bechira. So too there was an Ish and an Isha. Rather, there was one, a Zachar and a Keva. And the Nekeva aspect, the female aspect, was the source of more Yira Shemayim, and when she was spun off and became Nekeva, that went with her. More Yira Shemayim. But at the same time, because of the sin, and the sin is associated, by the way, with her Yira Shemayim, with her desire actually to be closer, but that's a whole other discussion, she becomes physically dependent. Technically dependent on man, but at the same time, that aspect of greater Yerushalayim stays latent within her, and she has a tshuka to bring it out, and she did bring it out, as we know, the instances throughout Jewish history in the Tanakh of the women, like Miriam, etc., the Sarah who had more nevuah, etc., who brought their greater emunah, their greater Yerushalayim, their greater influence to bear, saved Klal Yisrael, created Klal Yisrael, saved the men, brought us the Geula, etc. And L'asud Lavo, same thing. Nashim Tzivkanios will be the source of the Geula. And today, if you look around at the women and how much women sacrifice for Torah, for themselves, for their husbands, it's astonishing. And my grandfather, by the way, in a whole other place, points out that after every Chorban, there's always like a huge rebirth of Torah. And in this Dar, after the Holocaust, you can see it with the women, with the great growth of Torah among women, which was unprecedented. So that the women and the moon are very associated, also diminished, both diminished technically, both a latent source of Emun and Yerushalayim, both to be restored in the future, women to be a Choma, the moon to be restored to the original position as not a taker but a giver, women too, not receivers but givers of the Shechina. And here's what we say, what the men say. We don't, by the way, daven Kiddush Levana, it's a time-bound mitzvah, but here's what the men say. Yehi ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokai v'lokei avasai. May it be your will. Lemalos pegimas halavana. you should restore, you should fill up the void, the what's pogum, what's missing from the levana. V'lo yiyeh bashomir, and it should no longer have any diminution. It shouldn't be ma'at, smaller. V'yehi ar ha-levana, and the ar of the levana, ka'ar ha-chama, shall be like the ar of the sun. U'ka'ar shivas yimei bereshis, like the ar, like it was, in the shivas yimei bereshis. K'mosha ha'isa, like it was, kodem mi'uta, before you made it smaller. Shenemar, as it says, shnei ha-ma'oras ha-gedolim, quoting the pasuk, the two great lights, but yiskayim banu mikra shekasev, and it should be fulfilled in us what is written. Ubikshu es Hashem Elokeichem, you should seek out Hashem your God. Be'as David Malcolm and David their king. In other words, when the Yirah Shemayim fills us, we seek more than instead of staying in a neutral position or passive position. And this is also, my grandfather develops this point. He says here in Pinchas, he says here. Here he brings down this pasuk in Yirmiyahu that Nekeva to Sovev Gever, a woman will surround the man, it will be a choma for the man. So here it says, Ba'olam Hazeh, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's compared to the man, because he's the giver, okay? Mechazer al Yisrael, he goes and tries to reconnect to Klal Yisrael. He's chazer, he returns to reconnect to Klal Yisrael. Shiyatsu ritzono v'yachzu b'tshuva, they should do his will, they should do tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaches out to us. The man, in a sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the giver, is reaching out to us in all kinds of ways. Avalah sidlavo, that in the future, Yisrael, which are nimshal to the woman, the makabel, where we receive the Torah, Machzrin al HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we go and seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheyasu Ritzono Shenemar, that we should do Hashem's will. We search for, we become the Mevakshim. As it says, Nekeva to Sovev Gever, that the woman will be the initiator, will go seeking out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, searching for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That will be the way of the future. That Klal Yisrael will return after Hashem, whereas here HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of returns and tries to draw us back. And here, so Klal Yisrael are compared to the Nekeva, and as here, even we see that in history, in Jewish history, the women have always come through, demonstrated glimpses, given us glimpses of that, that it's the women that are seeking after HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to seek them out. Pushing Klal Yisrael forward, and in the future, not only will the Yirah Shemayim be restored, to their natural place as a source of Yirah Shemayim, a source of the Shekhinah, an energizing force, a force of growth for the rest of Klal Yisrael, for the men. They will also lead Klal Yisrael back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then all of nature will take on a different form, because when Klal Yisrael, led by really the Nashim Tzidkaniyos, return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring the physical world into its proper position where it's an expression of the spiritual world, something else will take place. And my grandfather brings down, we've spoken about this, that at that time, where the Shekhinah is as evident as is as clear as the sunlight, and what we see with the spiritual light and what we see with the physical light are equivalent to each other, so then no more mistakes will be made in halacha that have to have a kapara. Because, go back now to Pinchas, Pinchas, it says that one of the things that they have to bring a chatas for is because, also on Rosh Chodesh, is in case, let's say, there was a very deep grave that nobody knew about, tumah, and people were metame and they didn't even know about it. So on Rosh Chodesh, you also have to bring carbon chatas on that. What if you were metame the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, or something that was designated for a carbon, that was kutchin? And you were metame it, you had purified it because you didn't know that there was a grave deeper than, deep down. So my grandfather says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu restores the moon, and we have the Ar HaShechina, these type of things wouldn't happen anymore. You wouldn't have tumah that you don't know about. You'd have clarity, you'd see, you'd be able to avoid these pitfalls. And he brings an example that La'asid Lavo, in the end of days, if a person starts picking figs, and he forgets it's Shabbos, so now what happens? Nothing. But La'asid Lavo, the figs are going to scream out, it's Shabbos. In other words, nature is going to help us. Nature will be on our side, because, and we will have all of nature, all of life will be elevated and be able to see and be illuminated with the R of the Sheva Sayamim, and we'll live in a whole different reality. So now, as we move towards Pesach, we are from Purim to Pesach is a very propitious time, really, a time of eventual Gilui Shechina, a time of Cheiros. Eventually, we're getting into those ideas, clarity. We should all be caught up in that light and that energy. I just want to end by saying Baruch Hashem to be Makar Tov to Kodesh Baruch Hu. My son is going to be Bar Mitzvah Shabbos, and I'm just, I don't know, didn't send you all invitations, but we're davening by Rabbi Nyman. We have a Kiddush afterwards. It's in Sutton Park, right when you walk in. You're all more than welcome to attend. Love to see you, but don't want to be matriarch anybody. And we should all have many simchas and bracha, mazel. Yes.